Father, freedom from anxiety, freedom from worry, freedom from that anxiousness, contentment, and real quietness of heart.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're talking about a theological, doctrinal, biblical issue that I believe needs to be clearly vetted, understood, and applied. Is the Holy Spirit always present? I know that's a serious question that multitudes have never considered, but there are folks today, many well-meaning Christians, including deacons and Sunday school teachers and pastors, that have not studied the context, not understanding that there's a need to look at the Scripture in context, not realizing that in the Peter text, 2 Peter, it talks about being one interpretation. The untwisting, the unraveling of the Scripture has one single interpretation, not many, just one, but multitudes of applications. That's the joy, the blessing of studying the Word of God. And there's a need today to study the Word, to know the Word, to apply the Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. There's a need to do that today, perhaps more than ever before in the history of our great nation, especially in the realm of Christianity. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about for where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, Jesus speaking, there am I, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit in the midst of them. If that is not talking about where 2 or 3, and you've got to have 2 or 3 before the Holy Spirit is present, if that's not what it is connoting in the Scripture, what does it mean? So, Dr. Phelps, I'm going to start with you. As we look at the text, the thing we need to recognize is this entire unit of thought is talking about church discipline. Speak to that for a moment. What is church discipline?
Well, as indicated in the first verse of the text that we're considering, the writer of this passage, Matthew, tells us, if thy brother shall trespass against thee.
Let's stop there for a moment. Brother, so it indicates then a Christian, a fellow believer.
Yes.
All right.
So if we're having problems, and someone has trespassed against another, and that means that they have caused some kind of problem or misunderstanding,
okay,
that we should deal with that. And in the same context, and adjoining verses or previous verses, they talked about this matter of forgiving one another. That's all tied together. And so we need to solve church problems, and we need to realize that we're not alone. The Lord will help us with that.
Absolutely.
I think one of the reasons why things don't get done is because we simply don't talk to the Lord
and rely upon Him for the help we need.
Absolutely.
And so that's what this passage is about.
And with that thought in mind, let's take this for one moment. Verse 15, I simply call that conflict. When there's conflict, division, discord between two brethren, two Christians in the local New Testament church. Moreover, if thy brother, indicating the saved, shall trespass, that means to go against thee, go and tell him his fault. What does it mean to go and tell him his fault?
Well, it means that if you have a Christian brother, someone you're acquainted with in the church, has done something that has bothered you or been a problem with you, you need to tell him. Don't go tell someone else.
That's right.
You need to tell him and ask him how we might resolve this problem.
That's good.
And
mm-hmm.
Now that's the Christian way to solve problems in the church.
Absolutely. And first of all, Dr. Davis, I call that verse 15 when you find conflict between two in the church. And then he says, go to thy brother. That's confrontation. Speak to that for a moment. Is this something that's historically done, or is it overlooked, or is it simply ignored in most churches?
Well, it's been both ignored and neglected.
Yes.
Let me put it that way. That's why we have so many problems in the churches today right now. Once again, a lot of things are not done and were not done in the past that lines up totally with Scripture. God sets the bar. He gives us all the answers we need to confront any problem we might face, whether it's in the church or in our lives. The Word of God is the answer. It's not the resource. It is the source of all answers for the issues that we face in life and in the church. Now, when we approach our brother, we must understand we must do it in the right spirit.
Well, the Scripture says to go to him alone.
Amen.
That's in confidence.
Amen.
You don't broadcast it to everybody at that point in time. There's coming a time, as you'll see in this context, that you do. But at this point, it's going confronting the brother in confidence. Notice the Scripture says, ladies and gentlemen, go to thee, tell it to him, his fault between thee and him alone.
Amen.
That's privately. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thee brother, thy brother.
And then
So, Dr. Davis, the purpose of that is not to lose the brother, but to gain the brother.
Right.
Speak to that.
You're going to him, once again, in humility, with a humble spirit out of a heart full of love.
Mm-hmm.
Because if those two things are not there, I always tell people, especially if I know that we're going. Now, listen, let me say this again once I said this earlier in the broadcast. We are not all on the same learning level.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it might be something simple, or it might be something too complicated for the brother to understand, or sister in this case, either one. And they're making an honest mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, in some cases, they're openly sinning.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, whatever the case might be, the Word of God gives us the answer, but it starts with us. Because it says, you go to your brother.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you love your brother or your sister, and if you are spiritual, you're going to them out of a heart full of love because you don't want to see them going down the wrong path. And then you don't want to let a little leaven the whole lump. In other words, if you let that sin continue to grow and go unchecked, other things will start happening in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because, we have copycats, just like copycats in the world.
That's right.
They say, well, pastor, let this person get by doing X amount of things, so I'm going to do it likewise.
Absolutely.
So and what we have to do, once again, the Apostle Paul even say that sometimes you have to chastise them right to their face.
Absolutely. They did in Acts chapter 15, by the way.
Amen.
And by the way, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, more of if that is the contention there, if there's the possibility, that's that point. If thy brother, that's a saved Christian, shall trespass, go against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother.
Amen.
So as we look at that, it's what you find in Galatians 6:1. It says, brethren, if a man be taken in a fault, mm-hmm. ye which are spiritual, restore him. such a one in the spirit of meekness considering thyself, lest thou also be tested or tempted. So the reason that we see in this text, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting to the whole rationale behind the understanding, the interpretation of the context where the verse is found, where it says, "For two or three are gathered in my name, gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit's present, ever present. But in the context of that 20th verse, it's talking about the conflict, division between brethren, and the confrontation, go to them and to them alone, that is the in confidence, and tell them the fault, tell them the problem, explain it to them. Verse 15 also talks about the challenge. If he hears thee, you've gained the brother. The purpose of the confrontation, the purpose of going in confidence, is to try to gain the brother, to get the brother to see this is sin, this is wrong, this is undermining the work of the Holy Spirit of God in our church, therefore we can't have that dissension and that division, because as you said, Dr. Davis, it'll fester and grow until it covers multitudes of areas.
Amen.
So ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about in this text, it's the unit of thought, verses 15 through verse 20. Now verse 16, Dr. Davis, read verse 16 and let's talk about it.
He says, but, which is a conjunction.
Conjunction, transition of thought.
Amen. If he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Mm-hmm. You know, I've walked this out so many times.
Yes.
And I found it very beneficial to take the other two or three witnesses, because even after you go to the person and point out their fault, and you can tell them verbatim, a lot of times, every word that they have spoken that was out of context with what we do, doctrine in the church, et cetera, and with the Word of God, more especially, and they'll still sit there and deny it. I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. Well, if you got the two or three witnesses right there,
that's right,
you can knock that out the box.
Yes. Dr. Phelps, tell me, why is that required? In fact, if you would turn to Deuteronomy 19, and read verse 15, Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. Simply put, ladies and gentlemen, this is in obedience to the confirmation of what is found in the Word of God. Verse 16 is to take two witnesses, not two witnesses to witness what the person has done, but two witnesses as to what you're doing, as Dr. Davis said, going with two or more witnesses to affirm that you've gone to them trying to mediate, to work out, and to resolve the issue. It is to confirm the issue, but the confirmation is designed to try to settle the issue. What does Deuteronomy 19:15 tell us?
One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established.
Absolutely. So first of all, we find the conflict. We find after the conflict, there's the going to confront in confidence that individual. And in that challenge is, if he hears you and does something about it, then we've gained the brother. And the confirmation is having the witnesses with us as we go. But what if that person is not willing to listen? What does the scripture say in the 17th verse, Dr. Phelps?
In Deuteronomy.
No, in the text that we're in, Matthew 18, verse 17.
In verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican.
That's a powerful, powerful
Amen.
Verse that most neglect this. In fact, I would be willing to tell you, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, in my most humble opinion, 99.9% of the division in churches today could be resolved and settled either with or without those or that member remaining by simply obeying the scripture. Most have the idea that if there's a problem, I'll just ignore it and it'll go away. It's as a cancer. If you ignore it, it won't go away. it'll get, as the little boy says, more bigger. Poor grammar, but it makes a point. We must not deflect from what the Scripture says, but let's look at that again. And if you've gone with the brother, you've gone with the witnesses, and if he shall neglect, that is, refuse to hear them, that's the witnesses, refuse to hear them, tell it unto the church. If he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Listen to what it is saying, ladies and gentlemen. There's the contention. If he refuses to hear, I can use this as an example without calling any names. Many years ago, had a man that was sowing discord in the church. Went to him, sat down and talked with him. Had one of the men in our church that was with me, and he said that he was simply unwilling. Verbally said, "I'm unwilling to apologize. I'm unwilling to change. I'm not going to change. Refuse to hear. Refuse to hear the admonition. Refuse to hear the, the confrontation out of love and commitment to the Word of God." As a result of that, he sowed even more discord. We had to remove him from the role of the church. And the Scripture is very, very clear here on the process. Ladies and gentlemen, in the context of that verse 20, that is the verse that's in question today, in the context of that 20th verse is verse 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19, which in the unit of thought, in context, is dealing with church discipline of trying to win the brother that's causing division and discord and dissension in the body of Christ. May I say this, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis? I believe that we have much of this taking place in our churches today. The little whispering, the backbiting, and when you go to Proverbs, I believe it's the 6th chapter, verses about verse 16 and following, it talks about the 7 things that God hates, and one of the things that he hates is he that soweth discord among the brethren.
Amen.
God hates that sinner and the sin. People say, well, God loves everybody. Yes, he does. Read that text, though. The things that God hates, and it's very, very clear in the pronoun that says, he that soweth discord among the brethren. So, Dr. Phelps, if we have the... Let me get you to just talk about verse 17. Give us the process in verse 17, the steps in verse 17. We've looked at verse 15 and 16. You go to the brother privately. If he hears you, you've won the brother. If there's the contention and he refuses to, you take witnesses with you. If they refuse to hear the witness, verse 17 answers that question.
Well, verse 17 tells us then if he does not want to... restored, or if he doesn't care about the broken fellowship,
no repentance
with the others, then he is not willing to repent or not willing to turn from that kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. And so the next step would be then to bring it before the church, mm-hmm, and discuss that with the whole church, with the full assembly or whatever, or as some churches may, before a church group, not in a worship service, but in a special meeting that's called. And so this would be a way to try to restore him to the fellowship of the church.
Yes.
If he is not willing to do that, if it doesn't work, then he's just to be considered to be like someone who's a heathen, a publican.
Well, in other texts in the Scripture, in the New Testament, it talks about the purpose for this is to shame him that he might repent and come back into the fellowship.
Amen.
So, Dr. Davis, what do you say in relationship to that potentiality? Now, let me lay the foundation, then let you respond. If you have a congregation that you call a meeting, say, we're going to disfellowship Ajax Jones in our church. You present all of the facts and the figures. It winds up being a court hearing. You further divide the church. Contrarywise, I interpret this scripture, and in having to apply it several times over the past less than 100 years, it is you go to the church and you explain, I've gone to the brother, I've gone to him with a witness. I've gone to him in confrontation. I've gone to him with the confrontation of what he's done. He's refused, and therefore what we've done, pastoral authority leading, what we've done, we've removed him from the fellowship of the church. Otherwise, if you have it on a, as some churches have tried, on a vote basis, where you're going to cast a ballot to find out if the pastoral leadership is obeying the words of the scripture to carry it out, if you have a vote, you further divided the church. That's not what the text is advocating. It's not what the text is saying. The pastor's responsibility is having the two witnesses, two or more witnesses, go to the brother, face him, confrontation, out of love, with the hope of gaining him as a brother. If he refuses, there's the refusal to do so. There's the contention that is there. Then all you can do is make the determination that this ain't, little boy says, ain't going to work. So, Dr. Davis, speak to that. There's some that will say, well, that's a bad church. That's a bad pastor. You've removed somebody from the fellowship. Is that right or wrong?
Well, the scripture once again commands elders in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I'm just going to read the one verse right there, because we can start at verse 17 and come down, and it speaks about the elders that rule well, how you count them worthy of double honor.
Yes.
Of course, like I said, once again, qualified elders. Mm-hmm. Is what's really needed in the churches today. But when it gets down to verse number 20, here's what the scripture commands the elders to do. He said in verse 20, 1 Timothy 5:20, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear.
Yes.
That's not in there just for decoration.
That's right.
It's in there to let us know the proper steps, once again, what we must take who have been given the charge over the flock of God in order to keep order and discipline in the church, in the body of Christ.
Right.
This is what we must, sometimes it hurts you to your heart.
Yes.
To have to do this. Now listen, once again, we don't want to run anybody. We're not trying to run anybody off.
Right.
We desire for everyone to come in and fellowship out of a heart full of love and be together with one accord.
Amen.
So that we can all serve God together with reverence and godly fear. And when this life is over, I want to see you in the kingdom. I want to take everybody to heaven with me that wants to go. But once again, those who refuse, once again, to be corrected, scripture gives us the proper channels of how to handle that. Now, I read 1 Timothy 5:20. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 16, starting at verse 17. Here's what he said. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them.
Yes.
For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen now what he's saying. They're not serving God, but their own belly. In other words, they have their own agenda.
Own agenda, own goals, own aspirations.
They're not there to support the pastor or promote the general welfare of the church. They're looking out for things that they hope to gain or hope to accomplish on their own. They want to meet their own ends. So he says, they serve their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So once again, now that goes back to what I said earlier. We are not all on the same learning level. We have baby Christians in the church that you still have to feed with milk.
Absolutely.
That are not ready for the meat. So then we must be careful that we protect them so that stuff like this doesn't cause them to err from the path
yes.
of righteousness.
And that term simple that you just used means simplistic. That means immature, not unlearned.
Amen.
Read, Dr. Phelps, read verse 18 and 19, and let's talk about those two verses together.
Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Absolutely. And notice that it says, and two, and I say unto you that if two of you, and then in verse 20, for, because where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And then we find in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, is the key to understanding those two verses. Matthew 16, 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever," didn't say whosoever, says "whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So, ladies and gentlemen, that is speaking of what we find here in this text with church discipline, and that the conclusion of the matter, if you want to call it that, is found in verse 18 and 19. The decision made in accordance with God's plan, with God's will, is therefore approved in heaven. God says, you followed my leadership, you followed my direction, you followed what the Scripture says, therefore your decision, from the human standpoint, based on the authority of the Scripture, based on the work of the Holy Spirit, your decision to remove that one from the fellowship of the church is approved in heaven.
Amen.
Fantastic thought.
Amen.
Wonderful understanding. It is the decision that's made in accordance with God's plan, with God's approval. And the commendation of that is found in that 20th verse. That's God's commendation. God says, I approve of what you've done. God says, I approve of the decision that you made. I approve for God, because where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Final thoughts, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps.
When we consider, Dr. Youngblood, everything we have said today in the Scripture, we still have the perfect example over in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Even after the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that they all continued, verse 42, steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. That's our end goal. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to accomplish in every church.
Amen.
We want everybody to be satisfied, knowing that God is working with us, for us, and through us, and then we can all serve him together.
Amen.
With one accord.
30 seconds, Dr. Phelps, final words.
One of the things I gather from this passage of Scripture is that God has given his people the responsibility to resolve church problems and cases, and we need to know God's will in order to do that. And so because he says something about asking, I believe that prayer ought to be something that we practice in the midst of this problem. There needs to be prayer.
Absolutely.
And asking God how to solve it.
Absolutely. And then go by the protocol that God gives and the process here in this text. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues.